Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word last has a very solemn tone. The last moment with a good buddy. The last words from the lips of a dying friend. And being saved at the last second from a catastrophe. Yes, that word carries much thought and meaning. This word is brought out in the gospel lesson which I have selected for today, perhaps even more so than the other examples, because it tells us of the last call of Jesus to his people. And he spoke these words on Tuesday of Holy Week, only 3 days before his crucifixion. For the last time, his voice echoes in the majestic halls of the Temple of Jerusalem. We have these words recorded in the Gospel of St. John, reading in the 12th chapter, beginning with the 35th verse. The light will be with you just a little longer, Jesus answered them. Walk while you have the light, or darkness will overtake you. If you walk in the dark, you don't know where you're going. While you have the light, believe in the light in order to become enlightened people. After Jesus had said this, he went away and hid from them. Although they had seen him do so many miracles, they wouldn't believe in him. What the prophet Isaiah had said had to come true. Lord, who has believed what we preach? And to whom has the Lord's arm been uncovered? And so they couldn't believe, because Isaiah also said, he blinded their eyes and dulled their minds, so that their eyes don't see, their minds don't understand, and they don't turn out and let me heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke of him. And yet, even many of the rulers believed in him, but wouldn't say so publicly because the Pharisees would have put them out of the synagogue. Yet, they loved to be praised by men more than by God. Yes, in these words, we hear the last plea of Jesus to his people, that they too might become children of light. And it is interesting that today his plea rings to us too. And for many, this may also be the last, the final plea of Jesus that will ring into their ears. He pleads, believe in the light. Let's note what happens if we follow this exhortation of Jesus. First of all, if we ignore it, what will happen? And secondly, what will happen if we accept that invitation? While you have the light, believe in the light, he pleads. The light that we have is the inviting, gracious call of the gospel, which speaks of forgiveness and love in the substitutionary death of God's Son, Jesus Christ. In that light, we see a reconciled and gracious Father. And he accepts sinners. In that light, we see that he wipes away all transgression, and he declares man holy and righteous and completely acceptable to the honor of heaven. Fortunate is he to whom this light has shone. No more the road of heaven is unknown to him. But how sad it is that though the gospel light shines very brightly, there are many who do not believe. The call of Jesus would warn man of impending judgment and the night of darkness. The light is for only a short while. The light will be with you a little longer. God most earnestly will take away his word from those who refuse to believe. For a brief period, the light remained with the Jews. John writes, after Jesus had said this, he went away and hid from them. No more could they hear the gracious invitation. And so it is today also. And it is so true today also that so in many, many places, in many countries, in many churches and congregations, where once the voice of the Good Shepherd was heard, you hear today only the sad howling of wolves. Believe, my friend, it does happen. And it does happen when the gospel of Jesus Christ is forgotten. When the gospel becomes a forgotten item, darkness sets in. And when the word, the clear, the simple message of salvation is taken away, what alone remains? Only darkness. Yes, sin, death, and damnation. Besides, if one continues to ignore the call of the gospel, hardening of the heart sets in. Complete spiritual darkness is the lot of an apostate. This happened at the day of Christ. When he was here on earth, the Son of God himself, through his words and through his many miracles, offered the gift of saving faith. But they refused to believe. And so they couldn't believe because Isaiah also said, he blinded their eyes and dulled their minds so that their eyes don't see, their minds don't understand, and they don't turn and let me heal them. A person is not the same, my friend, when he has heard the gospel. He either becomes better or worse. And the more he hears the gospel and believes not, the harder becomes his heart. And when the heart becomes hard under the word, who can help him? Who can save him? The most thunderous law cannot awaken him anymore. And the sweetest gospel will not produce faith. God has then blinded the eyes and hardened the heart. Now we know that this is not what God wants, nor is it the objective of the gospel. God meant it when he called, when he knocked, when he offered salvation. But when an individual consistently rejects the gospel call, the darkness of hell will already in this time cover the sad and hardened heart, as the apostle reminds. If the good news we tell is veiled, it is veiled to those who perish. And the call of Jesus, the last call, is rejected not only by delay and self-hardening, but also with a dead faith. Our text would tell us, yet even many of the rulers believed in him, but wouldn't say so publicly, because the Pharisees would have put them out of the synagogue. Yes, they loved to be praised by men more than by God. That sounds very familiar. They enjoyed the gospel. They regarded the gospel as true, but they were reluctant to separate themselves from the devil and the world. This does not display only a weak faith, but it displays a lack of saving faith. Confession is always the fruit of living faith, as it is written, I believe, and therefore I speak. And if it happens at times that confessing Christ is not evident because of a weak faith, it nevertheless will not last long. Faith either becomes stronger and is accompanied by confession, or then it dies completely. when we're told many of the rulers believed in him, the faith of these many must have gone out very soon. This is Tuesday of Holy Week when Jesus speaks these words. And very soon we're told only of the faith of two. It is only Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea who confess Christ on that Friday, giving him an honorable burial. But sad indeed, at the same time, even these two confessed him only after he had been put to death. And his people had committed the most dreadful crime in history and had brought upon themselves eternal wrath of God and the judgment of God. Faith that is not confessed will die away. But on the other side of the coin, we must also note what happens if we listen to this appeal of Jesus. In other words, we become children of light by believing in the light, by accepting the gospel. This light shows how in the substitute, Jesus Christ, God is reconciled and mankind is redeemed. The gospel is not only a promise of forgiveness, it is in fact God's own proclamation of forgiveness to a sinner. The blood of Jesus Christ has so completely wiped away all sin that they will never again rise up to condemn us before the living Lord. The righteous wrath of God has been so thoroughly smothered by the substitutionary death of Christ that in Christ God is now mercy and love for a sinner. Just as in their entirety the sins of man, bad sins, often vicious works, corruption and guilt, with all its consequence was placed upon the Son of God, so also his righteousness, his holiness, innocence, blessedness, and life were given to the sinner. What a blessed exchange took place. While man was yet an enemy of God, dead in sin, he received as a gift of God's grace eternal blessedness, salvation, bliss, happiness in heaven. The gospel beckons the sinner now, the last call to accept this. For that reason, the gospel, as word of life, is also the power to generate saving faith in the heart of man. My dear friend, and especially also those in the radio audience today, are you helpless in yourself, full of sin, corruption? That's how all of God's dear children of light were when they heard the good news of the gospel. When they heard it, light shone in their hearts, faith sprang up, and in a moment they became children of God. Folks, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. And children of light walk in the light. Jesus says here, walk while you have the light. About Christians, the apostle writes, you are all the children of light and of the day. We have nothing to do with night and darkness. And as Bill read here from Ephesians, live as children of light, since light produces everything good and righteous and true. And once again, Paul, let us live nobly as in the daytime, not carousing and getting drunk, not sinning sexually or living wild, not quarreling or being jealous. Living in forgiveness not only frees us from the threat of punishment, but frees us from the slavery of sin, gives power for a new life. It gives courage to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer for him and to seek honor for his name. To a believer, the word, as the psalmist says, is a lamp unto his feet and a light upon his path. And step by step, the word lights the way. In every situation, every question, the word guides and leads on the right path. Let there be prosperity and good days, or let there be adversity and nights of sorrow. In every situation, the word enlightens that we are enabled to serve him as good stewards in the midst of a perverse and an evil generation. A light child of light also knows where he's going. He's on his way home. Not so the child of this world. His destination is the abyss of hell. A child of God knows that eternal joy with the Lord awaits him. He knows each moment brings him closer to his Savior. He knows also that death has to be for him only a thin veil which will and separate him from eternal life in the Father's house. Yes, once more, the voice of Jesus on his way to Calvary and death, believe in the light. Soon will come the last day when the voice will not be heard. Then those who heeded not the invitation must go into the eternal, unending weeping and gnashing of teeth. And those who accepted the call of the gospel, the invitation of the Good Shepherd, shall shine as the sun and as a light in God's firmament. And we're told there will be no more night. And they shall not need light from the lamp or of the sun, because the Lord will shine on them, and they will be kings forever. Amen.